listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/LaFever CFC. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Who's had a good Easter so far? Yeah, that doesn't sound that excited at so far. Which of you kids had an Easter egg hunt today? Few? Yeah, that's one of my problems with Easter. I've been banned from the Easter egg hunt. So a couple of years ago, my mother-in-law banned me from attending, being part of the Easter egg hunt for playing too aggressively. But for the rest of you kids, enjoy it while it lasts. That's all I can say. All right. Well, I hope over the Easter weekend, you've had some time to think about the Easter message and what Easter's about. You know, we reflect on different things on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. They're very different things that we reflect on. And as I've reflected this year just about the whole Easter story, one thing that stood out to me was just how much crazy stuff went on. For something that you would have thought there would have been a nice, smooth process, it was absolutely nuts. You think about some of the things that happened. One of his disciples, Judas, someone that Jesus chose to be a disciple, betrayed him, and then he ended up hanging himself. One of his most devoted disciples, Peter, was an absolute mess leading up to the cross, and he ended up betraying Jesus at his most important hour. And just the night before Jesus is about to go to the cross, he asks his disciples to come and pray with him, and they're so tired they can't even stay up to pray. So it wasn't all smooth sailing for Jesus in those final moments. And if you're wondering why I've got a laptop up here, this is what happens when your printer dies on Easter Sunday. All right, so it's only for a couple of pages and then we can go back to old school. But yeah, when we look at that whole story, there's a lot going on in those last moments. And even when Jesus goes to the cross and even when he's resurrected, he has to come back and actually have one more go at the guys to hopefully get this message across to them that he's entrusting with them to carry on for future generations. You know, sometimes we look at those disciples and we can look at the disciples, we can look at all of the characters throughout Scripture and look judgmentally on them about how much they let Jesus down or how much people made a mess of things. But, you know, when I look at people like the disciples and I look at some of the great characters of the Old Testament and the New Testament, I see myself. I see me sometimes that's probably what I would have done. I like to have think that I would have stuck by Jesus the whole way through, but I might have chickened out. I might have betrayed him, who knows? And that's kind of a good attitude to take when we look at these people, that that could have been us. We could have made similar decisions at that time. And we do a lot of those things that the disciples do. We get distracted, we get off track, our faith wavers, our desire to outwork what God has called us to do can get easily stopped because we focus on other things that are going on around us. So today I want to strip Easter right back and for us to reflect a little bit on, if we can bring up that first slide. Thanks, Caleb. And the next one, hopefully. What is Easter all about? What is Easter all about? So like with Christmas, the Easter message can get a little bit confused. It can get hijacked by our world about what Easter is about. And the challenge is that often, like with Christmas, Easter can get turned into something very different. People see it as an awesome long weekend to go away, to go fishing, to go camping, to do all those things which are great, to spend time with your family, to eat Easter eggs, to have big meals, to just kick back and relax. And they're all great things. And there is certainly a place for that over the Easter period. But it's always important that we remember the message. And for Christians, it's a really important time to just reflect on what the Easter story is about and for that to challenge us as we go into the next stage of life. And I'm a real traditionalist, okay? I love the Easter weekend. I love that things are closed. I love that things are shut. I reckon it's great. Some of you are really annoyed that you can't go and see a movie, you can't go to Rundle Mall and hit the shops and all those sorts of things. But I am a traditionalist. I love that things kind of close down. But it is changing a bit, isn't it? It is changing. In 2017, the AFL held its first ever Good Friday game. And some of you might have been appalled by that. Some of you might have thought, yes. Some of you might have been somewhere in between. But the AFL saw that there was enough of a shift in our culture that they could introduce a footy game on this holy day and people would probably be okay with it. Now, some people who were just traditionalists, not even Christian people, were against it. And certainly there were many religious people who were against there being a sports game on a holy day. For me, I'm not sure where I sit. I don't think it actually really bothers me, to be honest. I don't know what you think of that. You might think that's really bad, that's really wrong, but I don't think that it really bothers me. And there's a reason for that, because as Christians, we kind of, it's fine for us to observe our beliefs, to have our values, but we've got to be very careful about how we try and enforce that onto other people. Okay, and to expect people that don't believe in Jesus, to expect people that are atheists to value Easter like we do is foolish. Okay, they're not going to have that same appreciation for it. So we don't change people by trying to shove religion down their throats, by trying to force them to go to church, by forcing them to do things, by forcing things to be stopped and closed. It happens by them actually seeing an alive Jesus in us, and for people to hear the gospel message and to see Jesus for themselves. And Easter is not supposed to just be about tradition. It's not just supposed to be about we always have Easter Sunday lunch, or we always have hot cross buns on Easter Saturday. Those things are all good and they're fine, but that's not what Easter is about. It's about remembering what Jesus has done and about how we live that out. That's really, to me, what Easter is about. It's a chance for us to consider how we've responded to this ultimate act of love and sacrifice that Jesus has made for each of us, that he came from heaven to die in our place as a once and all punishment for our sins. That's what Easter is about, that we could be renewed, that we could be restored and restored back to the Father. And we watched an opening video just before, which some of you may or may not have heard, but there was a line there that I loved. To fail to be concerned about the salvation of others is to diminish the importance of Jesus' death and resurrection. If there was another way for Jesus to deal with sin, he would have come up with it, because the way that it happened was the most difficult way it could have happened, to come to earth, to die on a cross, to suffer that death, and to go through all of that. If there was a better way, I'm sure that it would have happened. But Jesus had to die in that way, and we'll go into that a little bit more later. But it's important for us over this time to remember what he's done and to thank him for that and to reflect on it. But most important is how we respond to that, how we respond to what Jesus has done for us, what he did for us over that Easter weekend. We can close that down now because I've got my notes back. Yay. All right. That's what I think Easter is about anyway. So we can observe the traditions, but that's not going to change the world. That's not going to change the world. Only by what we do with what happened at Easter, how we let that change our lives, is our world going to be changed. Only by people hearing the gospel message will they themselves be transformed. So I just want to reflect on a few things today that I think Easter is about. The first one is his sacrifice for our sins. Now, there's lots of scriptures about sin, but I want to just reflect on this one for a moment. These come from Romans 3. And Romans 3 tells us that no one is good, and all have sinned and fallen short. So in Romans here, Paul is making it very clear, your definition of what a good person is doesn't matter. It's irrelevant, okay? What you think a good person is doesn't matter. You don't get to determine what is good and what is bad, because we've seen throughout the history of the world what some people think is good. We've even seen the church get that horribly wrong when we think about the Crusades and all of those things. That's what they thought was good, to go and force everyone to be Christians. We'll kill them if they don't convert. Okay, so people are horrible at working out what is good. Only God, who is the perfect judge, can tell us what is good. And sometimes we don't like to talk about sin, and I've heard a lot of churches not even use the word sin. They use a whole bunch of other words in place of sin, but sin is sin, and we need to confront it for what it is. Sin is what destroys our world. You look at any major issue that's going on in the world today, and sin is at the root of it. Okay? Think of some of the biggest issues in our world today. They are sin. They are us falling well short of what God created us for. Sin is deceitful because it initially is appealing. And sometimes when we talk about sin, people say, shouldn't sin because it's really bad. Well, if you've ever had a sin that you've struggled with regularly throughout your life, you know that there's that moment where it's really good, where it's really appealing. But then it's everything that comes after that, okay? And that's what is destructive. And we think about ourselves, but think about other people in your life who maybe their sin has had a major damage for you. Sin brings guilt, shame, hurt, relationship breakdowns, leading to other things. Sin destroys. Okay, people won't deal with sin in their life by us just telling them to stop sinning. That's not the answer. They'll only be transformed once they know that they can be freed from their sin, that there is a creator who loves them, who has a plan for their life and wants them to be free from sin. Jesus wasn't messing around by going to a cross to deal with sin. That's how serious it is, okay? If there was another way, there would have been another way, but this was the only way to deal with sin, for there to be a one and all sacrifice. And sin at its core is really just people choosing their way over God's way. That's really all it is. If we go back to Adam and Eve, that's really what their choice was. They didn't want to listen and trust in God. They wanted to do life their way. And they immediately regretted it once they'd done it. But Jesus came to deal with sin once and for all on the cross. Now, some of you younger ones might not know the history of what you had to do in the old days, in the Old Testament days when you sinned. Okay? So in the Old Testament days, they had 613 laws that they had to observe. And they were from very small to very big ones that you had to observe. And the only way to be forgiven for sin was to sacrifice an animal. So back in those days, there was just sacrifices going on all the time. So if you sinned, the only way for it to be fixed was for an animal to be sacrificed, for blood to be shed, normally from a lamb or a goat. That's how you were made right. So you would sin, an animal would die, you'd be clean, and then you'd probably go and sin 2 minutes later, and then you'd have to go and be redeemed for that sin again. And this was just the pattern of life forever. So Jesus' death on the cross put an end to all of that. There were no more animal sacrifices. There were none of these other laws that you continually had to follow. He became a one-time sacrifice for every sin, past, present, and future. And that's for us today to really grasp that all of your sins in the past are forgiven. And sometimes we struggle to forgive ourselves for sins that we've committed in the past. Some of us right now are being enslaved by sin in our life. And some of us, even for the sins that are to come, that we don't even maybe know about yet, they are forgiven. They've all been dealt with on the cross. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son," and the correct interpretation is that whoever keeps on believing in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's all you have to do. There's no more sacrificing animals. There's no more having to obey all these laws. And many Christians are still stuck in that old thinking that you have to obey all of these rules to be made right. But it says very clearly in Scripture that all of your sins have been dealt with by Jesus on that cross. And that's why we celebrate Easter Sunday. All right. Let's get dangerous. Who likes when things get dangerous? Me. All I'll say is it involves matches. All right, we better bring this out. That's what was dealt with. And then he was resurrected and he went to be back with his father. But he actually came back again and reappeared to his disciples to get that message across to them again because they still hadn't quite got it. And he reinvigorated them. But then he left another awesome way for us to continue that message. He didn't just leave it with the disciples. He gave two other ways for things to change. He had a new plan. And I think there's two key things that Jesus brought into being. The Holy Spirit, who was always there, was sent. So Jesus actually told the disciples this was going to happen. He said, "I'm going to send in my place the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be with you. The Holy Spirit is there." Now, the Holy Spirit has many roles, okay? You've heard about things like the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Well, yes, that's part of the Holy Spirit. But one of the Holy Spirit's key roles is to share the gospel, to give us boldness to go and share the gospel with our friends, with our family, with those around us, to go and share this message that we are free, okay? And then the other thing that happened was the church. The church. So no longer was it just a temple. So the church back in when Jesus was around and before that, the church wasn't like this. It was very different, okay? The church back then, you had a high priest who was the only one who could really talk to God. And you could only go to church if you were Jewish. Only Jewish people could go into the temple. And then Jesus tore all that down. He made a church where Jews and non-Jews could go and where everyone could access God because we had the Holy Spirit, and then he gave this church. And he has a huge plan for the church. The church is vital to God's plans. And I get really sad when I hear, I know quite a few Christians who have come up with their own theology for why you don't need to go to church. If you read the book of Acts, if you read the letters of Paul and think that you don't need to go to church still, then I don't know what to tell you. There's a very clear message. This is a huge part of God's plans to reach the world is through the church. And it's important that we're a part of a church to go to encourage others, to be encouraged, to have fellowship. But also, this church is supposed to impact our community, which it does, and it's supposed to impact the world where it does. We've reached many nations, and many people have come to know Jesus through this church, through either financial giving, which has opened things up, or for people from this church who have gone overseas and physically shared the gospel. Do some churches get it wrong? Yes. Are all churches perfect? No. We've all had a horrible experience in church, and I've heard many people tell me their reason not for going to church is because this one person once didn't do this, or they didn't do that, or the leader was horrible, or they didn't have nice tea and coffee after church, or whatever it may be. None of those matter. There's a very clear edict in the New Testament that we are to be part of our church because Jesus loves his church. All right, so hopefully we've got that. And the greatest part of Easter is, oh, I've said that, proclaiming the gospel. We're to make disciples of all nations. The Great Commission talks about that. And then his resurrection. Let's read this verse from Acts 4. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Now, lots of Christians love this story. They look, oh, wouldn't it be great if we had a church like that where we all shared our stuff and we all made meals for each other and we did all of that. And that's all really great. But this is what's at the heart of it. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. So that bit kind of gets skipped out a lot. People think that, oh, you just have this church where everyone just goes and does things for each other and helps each other out. But God's grace was powerfully upon them because they were sharing the story of the resurrection of Jesus. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, bought the money from the sales and put it all at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. This is the church. This is what the church is supposed to be. That's a challenge for us individually and collectively as well. So, I think Tara said at the start of the service, if the resurrection didn't happen, it's kind of important because this is all a colossal waste of time. If you're here and you're not sure about the resurrection story, it's important you have faith in the resurrection, because if the resurrection didn't happen, I'd pack up your bags and go home right now, because this is all just baloney. This is might as well just be a basketball club or a knitting club or something like that. This is just otherwise just a social get-together, because this is pointless if we're here singing about this fellow Jesus who was a complete fraud. But if he was resurrected, then that changes everything. And here's just three areas of proof for the resurrection. There's plenty more besides this, but here's three. The tomb in which Jesus was buried was discovered empty by a group of women on the Saturday following the crucifixion. So, if Jesus wasn't resurrected, this is really inconvenient for the Jewish leaders, for the Roman leaders, that the tomb is empty. They would come up with another body or come up with something else to sort of put some doubt over whether Jesus could have actually risen. But these women found an empty tomb, and that story quickly passed that there was no body there. That's our first bit of evidence one. Now, you might say, well, yeah, those women, they were really close to Jesus. They were probably tired and emotional and just looked in and they couldn't see him, but he was just around the corner. They didn't have a good enough look. This is, not many people will doubt that testimony. The second one, Jesus' disciples had real experiences with one whom they believe was the risen Christ. I think the actual number of people that came into contact with Jesus after he was resurrected was around about 50 people. There's about 50 accounts of people that saw Jesus. So now you're starting to talk about not just a couple of women, but around 50 people who were key leaders who were maybe perhaps making this story up. Okay? Thirdly, as a result of the preaching of these disciples, which had the resurrection at its centre, the Christian church was established and grew. Who would go and start a church if the guy that you were following was a complete phony? Okay? And not only go and work on the church, but all but one of the disciples were martyrs. They all died for their faith. I would have just walked away. And Peter did, even before Jesus went to the cross, he denied his faith. Now, surely afterwards, he would have denied his faith even more if he knew he was about to die. But all of the disciples were radically transformed. Now, if you're starting to say, well, the resurrection's all made up, you're now denying three things here. Okay, and then we're not talking about people's personal experiences today and a whole bunch of other things that can happen. So it's important for Christians that we understand the resurrection, that we believe the resurrection, and that we know that that power is there for us today. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is available for each and every one of us today. We've had people in this church who have come back from death's door. They've seen that power of the resurrection. We've had people in hopeless situations that have just turned around like that because the Holy Spirit was involved, because Jesus was involved. And that power is available for each and every one of us today. Can I get the band to come up as we close, please? we might be missing our worship leader, who's probably stunned that I kept to my promise of being less than 20 minutes. So we might just grab Tara. She's kind of important. We're just going to close with a song, if we can just all stand. And I just want to say a prayer, and then we're going to close the service there. If we can't find her, it's okay. I'll get up and get on the keys. We'll be fine. That sounds like my beautiful wife. Here she comes. All right. Hello. Would you like to pop up behind the keys? And I'm just going to pray, and we're just going to close with a song. Let's pray. Lord, we just give you thanks for this amazing Easter story. Lord, and I just pray that for this remaining bit of today and tomorrow, that we just do make some time just to reflect on what happened over that Easter time, Lord, and what amazing love you showed us by coming and dying in our place for our sins, Lord. When we look at ourselves, some of us would just say, I've made such a mess of my life, Lord. Why would you want to rescue me? Why would you want to die for me? But Lord, you love us, you created us, and you've got an awesome plan for each and every one of our lives. Lord, as we look through this church, Lord, we've got some awesome testimonies of people whose life was a real mess, of people who were diagnosed by doctors with diseases that were going to take their life early, Lord. We've been around people who have had relationships that were just a mess that have been redeemed and restored. And Lord, I just pray today that we remember and acknowledge the power of what happened over that Easter period, that you came and died for us and that you rose again. And Lord, that just shows us the power that is available to each and every one of us through your Holy Spirit. Lord, if there's anyone here today who doesn't know you and who maybe is just feeling a million miles from you at the moment, Lord, I just pray that today, tomorrow, this week, that they'll just call upon your name. Lord, your word says, call upon the Lord and you will be saved. That's all we have to do. We don't have to follow rituals. We don't have to sign up to courses and things like that, Lord. We just have to decide in our heart to put our faith and hope and trust in you. And if there's anyone here today who just really wants to give their life to Jesus, who decides they want to follow him, maybe you've wandered a bit off track in your journey, maybe you went to Sunday school as a kid, maybe you went to youth as a teenager, maybe you're much older now and you've had many years since you've been in a church and since you've even said the name Jesus, we just pray for you today that you would come to know Jesus, come to know the Father, come to know the Holy Spirit. And for maybe just the rest of us today who maybe our walk has got very dry, maybe our walk is a bit lifeless, maybe it's turning up to church, maybe it's reading the Bible when we get time, maybe it's listening to some worship. You've got so much more for us, Lord. And I just pray for any of those people who are feeling that way today, Lord, that they just recommit themselves to you, Lord, that they just recommit themselves to wanting to know you and to wanting to share your gospel with those around them, to proclaim that to their friends, their family, their community, Lord, and just to really be excited again about what you've done in their lives, that you've saved them, that you've forgiven them, and you have an awesome plan for their lives. No matter how young, no matter how old, Lord, it's never too late. Lord, we just give you thanks again. And Lord, we just want to really believe in that power today that was available to you and is available through you, Lord. And Lord, I just want to pray that, yeah, this Easter, we're excited again about knowing you. Lord, we're just so thankful for what you've done. And we really just have faith and trust in you that you can do an awesome thing through us, through this church, and in our community. Thank you, Jesus.